I'm Leonard Lopate. This is WNYC 93.9 AM 820. We're online at WNYC.org. Javier Bardem's latest film, The Sea Inside, tells the story of Ramon San Pedro, a quadriplegic who fought the Spanish government for 30 years for the right to die from legal suicide. That may sound depressing, but the film is actually quite engaging, even uplifting at times, thanks in no small part to Mr. Bardem's amazing performance. It's already won a number of awards and is Spain's entry for this year's Best Foreign Film Oscar. The Sea Inside opens tomorrow at the Lowe's Lincoln Square and the Sunshine Cinema, and I'm thrilled to welcome Javier Bardem to my show today. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well. How aware were you of Ramon San Pedro's story when you took this part?
Well, it was a very famous case, actually, because when he died in 98, he shot himself making this final statement, looking at the camera. And
he filmed his own suicide.
Yeah.
Which you also have in the movie.
Yeah. And that opened a huge debate in Spain, and that was in 98. And back at the time, there was a huge echo, a huge consequence because of that. Now, then that debate went down a little bit, and this movie helped to open again.
In fact, when the Prime Minister and some members of the cabinet went, people saw it as almost an endorsement of assisted suicide. And at the same time, the Catholic Church, I gather, has started an anti-euthanasia campaign.
Yeah, they started this against euthanasia and abortion and homosexual marriage, gay marriage campaign, yeah. They're always on the progressive side.
Well, in the film, there's a priest who loses a debate with your character. That must have upset a lot of people in the church.
Yes, but actually that happened for real. So it's like the church and the institution, and one of the most important representatives of that institution is judged with his own words. Everything he said is truly what he said, and you can tell how fanatic they can get sometimes.
I read that the director Alejandro Amenábar, who also wrote or co-wrote and I edited and wrote the music, I gather. He said that he was going to change things, but when he went back to the record, he discovered that everything that happened was so interesting, there was no need to change it to make a more interesting movie.
Exactly. I mean, the personality of Ramon San Pedro and also the clarity of his ideas and the weight of his intellectual process about getting to the idea of dying, it's so powerful that you cannot add anything. And also his surroundings, the people that was surrounding him, family, friends, lovers. Those stories are so powerful to create that when he was considering the idea of make a fiction character and discovered reality, it's like, what am I doing? I mean, this is much more precious than everything I can invent.
He also had a book. A book of poetry, but also a book in which he talked about his terrible experiences. What was it called?
It's called Letters from Hell.
Letters from Hell, which is a great title.
Yes.
The director, Amenábar, also probably is best known to Americans for the film he just recently did with Nicole Kidman, The Others. Very different than this. Mm-hmm. I gather that his first thought was to try to find an actor who was similar in age to San Pedro when he killed himself. Mm-hmm. He wound up with somebody 20 years younger.
Yes, his concern was about not finding that actor. And then he called me and told me if I was going to be able to portray him. And I read it, and it took me a month. I mean, we took a month, both of us, to realize if it was only a risk to take or if it was only just something crazy to do.
And why? What were your misgivings, that it would just be too difficult to be this man, to become this man?
I guess I'm so far away from that man that maybe it could be ridiculous for me to
portray
him.
Were you worried that the film might be too depressing?
No, because when I read the script, I thought when he told me the story, and because I knew him, I thought it could be very depressing. But then when I read the script, I found what the movie is, which is, in a way, a celebration to life, a celebration to love, a welcome to our own doubts and contradictions as human beings, but also with the only idea of celebrating what we are and what we are supposed to be as human beings, which is a free spirit to do with our lives and deaths, even whatever we want to. So I knew that, but the thing is, his look, the way he looked and the way he talked, the accent, and also the idea of somebody being 30 years on bed, it was so difficult for me to believe that we took a time to think about it.
I understand your own mother, Pilar, told you made a mistake in taking this role. Now, she's a famous actress. Mm-hmm. I would assume that you would take her advice.
Of course, I've always taken her advice as a mother and as a person and as an actress. And as an actress, always tell me, you do whatever you want to do, but don't forget to breathe. It's like, breathe. I mean, don't take it that seriously. It's only a job.
Well, there is a lot of breathing involved in the acting here. Actors often communicate with their bodies as much as their voices. Here you're playing somebody who's very complex, very smart, very charismatic. You're in bed the whole time. You can't move. You probably were getting bed sores. You were in bed so much. So that must have been very difficult, relying on just facial expressions and your voice to communicate everything.
Yes, and I'm also saying that I'm not this kind of very good technique actor. I mean, my technique is very poor. There are some other actors that are really great in being still on stage and making you feel a lot of emotions through the voice. I'm not one of those. I'm more kind of physical and impulsive actor. So that was a challenge for me, to be down there in the bed without moving and trying to express a different range of emotions and feelings without moving anything.
But you'd already played a paralyzed policeman in Pedro Almodovar's Live Flesh, so you had a little experience with that.
Yes.
But this movie required you, I gather, to spend 3 months on the set, 6 days a week, sometimes 10 hours a time, immobile from the neck down. I think even an actor with a lot of technique would find that impossible.
Yeah, and I have to add that the from five to six hours of makeup every day. Because Jo Allen, which is the makeup artist, she has done an amazing job, but it took 5 hours to do it. So I would say that I was still, and I was lying down for 15, 16 hours per day. So and then, I'm sorry to interrupt you, then I have to go back to sleep to my own bed. So I would say that I spend 3 months on bed.
And it's just one of the sacrifices, I guess, you make for your art. You had to lose 30 pounds to do Before Night Falls, then gain 30 pounds for Mondays in the Sun. Mm-hmm. And here you had to gain some weight as well. Also, had to stop exercising because you couldn't look like you were in good shape. Had to age 20 years, had to have your eyebrows shaved off and all the hair on your head.
Yes, and that was very scary because I don't consider myself a very good-looking guy, actually, but when they shaved my eyebrows, I mean, I was like, oh, my God. I mean, that was scary to wake up every day and look myself in the mirror. No, I mean, that was... But, I mean, it's only... I'm so gifted. I mean, I'm so gifted in a way of... I don't think the word gifted is a good word to this. I'm so... lucky mm-hmm. of have a job that I like, that I will do whatever I have to do in order to achieve and be honest and be realistic.
Well, you do come from a family, the three generations mm-hmm. in theater and film. I'll get to that later. But I would think that there's almost a gene in you that, because I know you went to art school, you didn't even think of being an actor initially.
Yeah, like every kid, I want to do exactly the opposite to my mother, no? In this case, my father didn't work in this, but my mother worked, and my mother's family, they all work. My grandparents, the parents of my grandparents, my uncle.
Your uncle was thrown in jail by Franco.
Yeah, because he was doing movies against the regime. He spent a lot of years in jail. And I wanted to be a painter, but then I started to work as an extra in movies in order to get money so I could keep on painting. And I found through the acting what I was trying to find through the painting, which is a way to express myself. So finally I said, okay, surrender. It's inside of me.
But you didn't know it was going to require so many things. For example, for Before Night Falls, where you played Reinaldo Arenas. By the way, I met Reinaldo Arenas not long after he came out of Cuba. So that film really had special significance for me. Well, but you had to learn to speak English.
Yes.
For that, didn't you? You didn't speak any English before you did that film?
Not really. I barely knew the lyrics of AC/DC song, you know? which is my favorite group. And then, but those lyrics that don't take you very far because it's about hell, sex, and rock and roll. So you cannot have a nice and easy meeting with anybody.
Well, that really changed your life. You've often said that an international career was never one of your goals, and there you are with an international career, nominated for an Oscar, winning all sorts of other awards with the Venice Film Festival's Best Actor Award. So what happened? Do you have to deal with the fact that people wanted you now?
I have to say that because I've been in a family that has gone through a lot of periods and stages into this profession, like out of a job, getting some awards. It's like watching that from the inside makes me have a point of view that is, I guess, more healthy, which is I don't buy nor the success nor the failure. I mean, it's not something that worries me. Of course, I would like to keep on working, and those recognition helps you to keep on working, but it was never my goal to be out there on the magazines or anything or getting any award.
Well, I'm sure you learned to live with it.
The only goal is to get a job, no?
Well, in this film, you had to learn to speak Galician and then Spanish with a Galician accent. How different is Galician than Spanish?
I would say it's between British accent and American accent, or Irish and British. I mean, it's very different.
Mm-hmm.
And also it's an accent that people in Spain used to make fun of it, which is, it was difficult for me to play a drama with an accent that is used to be something to make fun with.
One of the oddities here is that you actually did some of it in the house that San Pedro lived mm-hmm. in, didn't you? And
yeah.
His relatives taught you all the things that he did?
Yeah, one of the greatest things that happened to me is that the sister-in-law, who helped him and took care of him for 30 years, invited me to go to the Ramon San Pedro's bed, because the room remains the same. And she was treating me like she treated Ramon San Pedro for 30 years, for 2 days. So she was going to tell me exactly how he would react.
The movie makes us fall in love with him just as he's getting closer to achieving his wish for an assisted suicide. And I found something a reporter once wrote. He said, one of Mr. San Pedro's greatest enemies is his own personality, because listening to him quote from Kant or Kafka, reading his own poetry, or sharing a joke, you find yourselves wishing him long life, despite sympathizing with his carefully rationalized case.
That's true. And that's something that actually happened to me as an actor. As much as I was understanding him and knowing him, the less I wanted him to die. But that's what the movie talks about. It's not about me and what do I feel with him. It's about if I'm able to overcome my needs to really understand his needs.
Well, the film opens tomorrow, and there are predictions that you will be nominated for another Oscar. You already won you've already been nominated for Golden Globe for this, and won the European Film Awards Best Actor. So, whether you want these awards or not, you're going to get some of them.
No, I mean, these awards fill your ego and your vanity, and I have a big one. I'm an actor, so they are welcome, but overall are welcome because they help people to go to see the movie, and that's the principal goal.
Javier Bardem's latest film is The Sea Inside, which opens tomorrow at the Lowe's Lincoln Square and the Sunshine Cinema. You can also see him in Michael Mann's Collateral, a small mm-hmm. part there.
Yeah. It was a little joke that we had. I mean, he invited me to go there for a day, and I was very pleased that somebody like Michael Mann, which is one of the greatest, asked me to be there and help him to tell the story. It was a great pleasure.
Well, it was a great pleasure meeting you.
Thank you.